we have a chov that we have to pay back, or that I have to pay. And that is, we left off with a couple of points just on the topic of Shavuos Pikadon, and in particular the contrast really between Shavuos Edus and Shavuos Pikadon, and where we were in particular was the issue of why the Gemara doesn't ever mention the issue, doesn't ever question about Shavuos Edus, what happens to the Malkus. Right? In Shavuos Pikadon, so Gemara says there's a korban here b'mezid. So we wonder, how does that interact with Malkus? Is it instead of Malkus, in addition to Malkus, or maybe each of them have their own? Right? If it's b'asra, it's for Malkus. B'asra, it's korban. So the Rishonim point out that the question exists also regarding the other case where we have a shvus. We have a chiv korban b'mezid, and that's shvus eidus. But shvus pikadon, the parak comes after shvus eidus. And why did the Gemara wait until shvus pikadon? What is the issue? What? First of all, what happens in the case of Shavuos Edus? And second of all, why? And second of all, why doesn't the Gemara raise the question? So what we were just ending up with was that most of Rishonim seem to answer this by saying that there's internally no ability to be Mechayim Malkus and Shavuos Edus. It's not that there's a clash with the Chi of Korban B'mezid, and then we have to wonder, like the Gemara does about Shavuos Pikadon, well, what do we do? Do we implement both? One? Which one? Etc. There's no ability to be Mechayim Malkus and Shavuos Edus. And that, I was just grouping those into two different reasons. One has to do technically with Asra. And here you have two versions of this, right? There's Rashi, right, who thinks it's Asra Safek, since Lemasrim, Enam Yodim, so they won't know, they can't know that he's actually in violation, even if he defies their Asra. Since, how do they know? Right, that's Rashi. I mentioned other Rishonim weren't sure that Tosfos disagrees with the principle. They think that doesn't make it Hasara Safek. Other Rishonim wonder whether or not we can't find a case where they would know. Either way, the Tosfos alternative, again, within this approach to the technical Hasara problem, is that even if there's a valid Hasara, it's not so much that it's invalid sort of when it's given, it's just that it doesn't, won't enable Chiyuv Malkus anyway, because they can always say Shechachti, and how can we know that isn't so? Okay, so that's, yeah. Oh, so that's it, right. The Meir, I think, is going a little bit different direction, not so much a technical problem in the Asura, but more something more fundamental. And what he says what he says is something like the Lav isn't Mifureshes, Mivueres, Bimikra, in the case of Shavuos Edus. There are different things he I think he could mean here. I don't think he means that there's no Avera, even though we entertain that possibility. There's no Averas Lav. I think it's more likely, meaning we entertain the possibility, maybe it's only an assay. I think it's more likely he thought that you do violate lo sishavu between the shaker, and let's say you violate that in all cases, even in the case of mipi acherim, or at the very least in case of mipi hatzmo, but I think probably also in the case of mipi acherim. But the problem is that the azar is not mivo eris b'mikra, and this relates to when I was, I think, in the middle of discussing, right, a broader point principle in the Rambam. In particular, but others as well, that that revolves around the essential principle of Ein Onshim Elohim Kein Mazirim, I believe. I think this is the point. That you need to have an Azhara in order to have an Onesh. You need to have a Lav. But it's not just that you need to have an Azhara. It needs to be an Azhara Mivu Eris. It has to be somewhat explicit or self-evident in reading the Pasuk that this is what's being forbidden. This, I think, for the Rambam appears, is reflected in a number of ways. Number one, this, I believe, is the major underpinning of an entire category of lav in the no receive malchus, and that's lav in shabachalos. Lav shabachalos, which has two forms, but one of the cases is where you have a lav where several, which has several different dvarim shemuzharim aleihem. This is a case where you have one azhara, right, but several different isurim. Azhara in terms of the formulation in the pasuk, but there are several different things being prohibited. The Rambam says this is just Der Hagav in Shorash Chi, he says this is an exception to my point that you count the Dvarim Shemuzharim Aleihem. Whenever he says there's a Lav Shebechalos, only counting one. That's an important point regarding what the Rambam is doing in Sefer Mitzvos. And there's Ol Chazon Lamoed, there's much to discuss there. But the point that's relevant for us is just that where you have Isurim like Lo Sechul Al Adam, which refers to, you know, not having Bezin, being able to, they can't eat at the time that they, when they're Mechayiv Miso. And this is, you know, without, you can't eat the Basar before the Zrikas Adam. Two totally different things. eating or davening, he mentioned in Sefer Mitzvos, he doesn't mention it in Mishnah Torah, right? In Sefer Mitzvos, correct. He doesn't mention Mishnah Torah, which is why I didn't bring that as an example. I'm not sure that he, you know, if he did, if he did hold that was Zerazis, again, you can raise a question. I believe that he should have mentioned it, but at the least it's not obvious that it is. The examples he gives in any of Sefer Mitzvos are Los Gozdu, Los Lechal Adam. We have several different, totally different prohibitions, but they all stem from the same formula in the pasuk. So I think the reason that in that case one could argue that in that case there's no makos is because it isn't muveres b'mikra. None of these surim, or at least not all of these surim, are muveres b'mikra. Some of them, or maybe all of them, aren't self-evidently what the pasuk prohibits, because it apparently prohibits totally different things. So maybe I thought it was the other one, right? So that's another example. That's one example where this principle comes up. I think also there's an entire principle in Chazal, in Ochim and Adin, I think that one can understand as relating to this as well, that even if it's a Kal v'chomer, but if it's not explicit in the Pasuk, it needs to be self-evident in the Pasuk, then you're not going to get Malkus for it, right? And the Rambam, I believe, expanded that. This is also a broader topic relating to Shorash Sheni, second Shorash in the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvos, where he writes that he's not counting Dvarim that are Nemadim from Yugim HaMidos, plus Riboy. That I think the Rambam in general does. It's not so much that necessarily they're Rabbanan, this is how most Rishonim before should take him, but that they're not Mubu'eris B'mikra. And one of the Nafkaminas for that is, I believe, Malkos. You don't get punishment, you don't get punished B'onu Shaguf for such things. That's part of Enoche Minadin. Minadin is just one example. Right? Kal v'chomer is one of the Yugim HaMidos, but it's true of all of them. Unless it's explicitly in the pasuk, self-evidently in the pasuk, then you're not going to get punished for it. And then I showed, I think Binyamin, Nosei Kelim will, and I think Rav sometimes also as well, says this several places in Sefer Mitzvos, that there's no malchus because there's nothing mifurash or mifuares. And Nosei Kelim will also apply it. Just as an example, I was showing Binyamin, the Rambam writes that the Isser of Kolzar lo yachobo for Korban Pesach. So the Isser is not an Isser upon the, well, it actually refers to Zerkol Ben Nechar, Lo Yechobo, first both a Nachri, and also somebody who's Menukar, Me'elokim, right, somebody who's a Mumar, Meshumad. But when it comes to, at least the Nachri, so somebody who's Machil, Kezayis, from the Korban Pesach, is over, but the Rambam says, but in the Loke, it doesn't say why. So the Kesa Mishnah, right, Rizikaro says that, I think the reason is because it's not Mubu'eris B'mikra. He doesn't refer to a general principle. He just says that Kevan, the Enum of Eris B'mikra, because it sounds like the Isser is an Isser upon the Ben Nechar. Now it happens to be that that's not true. We know there's only seven Mitzvot Ben Noach. We also, I forgot what else he brought up there it can't be that that's what the Isser is. It's rather an Isser L'ha'achil. It's an Isser upon the Bnei HaChabura that are responsible for the Korban Pesach. But since it's not explicit in the Pasuk, so you won't get Malkus for it. The general idea here, I think I mentioned to Binyamin, I think it's maybe something could be enlightening to consider this in comparison. How to deal with the doctrine of in constitutional law of void for vagueness, I think that's what they call it, where you can't enforce a law that is just ambiguous and vague. You have to have it that people can understand what they're supposed to be and supposed to be doing or supposed to be not doing. So if it's the case that, you know, it's not self-evident, you need access to a lawyer, right? So in order to know that this is actually what's forbidden, you know, you need to know, you know, court cases, you need to read up on court cases, so that it's a pretty far-reaching doctrine. But the Supreme Court recently actually really did void, I think it was a law in Florida, on this basis. They just voided the law. They just said it's an unconstitutional, not so much even that you can't enforce it, but that it's the law itself is unconstitutional. Because of this, so I think something like that might be the underpinning here. The point is that you're only going to get punished if there's sort of a bright line that everybody ought to know. It's in the pasuk, you know, that you know, you hear it, you say, yeah, that's obviously forbidden. If you only know it because you happen to have access to a Talmid Chacham who's able to explain it to you, or to Talmid Chachamim who are interpreting it, but that's, you don't know it in first of all, you may not have access, and also even if you have that access, but you don't have the immediate knowledge of it. In that case, necessarily, you only, it's what they're telling you, but maybe there's some sort of residual lack of consciousness of the Isser That's what they're saying this iser is. I mean, it doesn't sound like it. Right? Losses go do means I'm not allowed to be cholik and I can't have a an alternate practice in the same year. I mean, what? So in that case, there's no onesh haguf. In those cases. So it sounds like to me, just coming back to the Miri, that this is the language of the Miri here, that the Azhara isn't Mivol Eretz. What is Mivol Eretz? In other words, a person comes to this and he thinks, well, look, it could be for any number of reason. When is look, I'm over, apparently I'm Chai this Korban, even if, apparently I'm Chai, I'm sorry, apparently I'm over here, even if I just, it's Mushma Piacherim. I don't say Amin, I don't even say Hain, I don't acknowledge the Shavua, I'm still over. It must be that the problem here is not. Right, this is what you would think. It's not lo si shavu b'shmi l'shaker, because they didn't do that. Right? Must be, the issue here is kvishas edus. It's an im lo yagiv nasa v'no. And that's a mitzvah saseh, maybe it's an onesh, but it's not an azhara. Right? So the person isn't aware that this is, in fact, violates lo si shavu b'shmi l'shaker. And therefore, inasmuch as that fact is obscured by various complicating issues, one that we spent some time on, right? The fact that it seems to be that you're over in cases where when you look at Shulis Bitoe, it seems like you wouldn't be. But because of that, it's something which you won't get punishment for, you won't get onesh haguf for. That's what it sounds like to me in the Meiri, although I think there are other periods which are possible. Yeah.
I don't know if it's not an exact parallel, mm-hmm. but Rabbeinu Yonah Brachos in the beginning discusses why it is that technically you can say Shema and Yotze, your mitzvah, Sechira, 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 even before it says, since it's only learned from a rebuy of Kol Yimei Chayecha, so he says, therefore, the Torah wasn't as makbid, it's not written before.
Interesting.
I wonder if that, I mean, I know it's not.
Yeah, I have to look. Yeah.
It's similar, like the standards are lessened because it's not fairish.
Yeah, I mean, I think this one is an onish particular issue.
Onish, like
yeah, I mean, in general, I mean, that to me speaks more to the possibility of it being derabanan, or at least more to having a sort of a legislative hand in the process,
right.
Even if it's possibly deraisa, and that relates to sigisu. Yeah, that relates exactly. Summary show interpreted, and also there are other cases too. I mean, Ron has the same idea by Hadar, that they can kind of be picking and choosy about things, not consistent, because it's something which is sort of their legislative. The Ron Shalom sort of gave it into their hands to define, and they can therefore decide. It sounds more like that to me, but I want to look at that. It's a more general issue of maybe another time. Of the Rambam's understanding of the Yogamo Midos and the deraisa status of them, but it's a good Marmachum. All right, so that's I think most Rishonim. However, I think it's clear the Rambam did not agree with this. In other words, the Rambam did not think that there was some technical problem, that either a technical problem or a fundamental problem with the Malkos of Shavuos in the case of Shavuos Edus. He thought that, in fact, there's the reason that there's no Malkus Shavuos Edus is because it's precisely something like Rava's, what Rava said, namely Yatza Lidom Davar Chadash. He thought this was part of the implication of what Rava was saying, right? Because the Rambam is it right? Because the Rambam says, right, in the context of Shavuos Edus, that if you notice, I mentioned at the time, it just as a mark, you know, something to just note that the Rambam, as opposed to other Rishonim, actually throws in Malkus as part of the discussion, seemingly of the Gemara and what Rava and Abaye are debating. At least for Rava, right? That who again, the Gemara sounds like it's talking about the Korbanos, maybe only Bishogig, right? What happens with both Korbanos and Bishogig? The Rambam thinks that the issue is Lav Dafka Bishogig and Lav Dafka about Korbanos. It's also about the Malkus. And when Rava says Yatzal Lidom Davar Chadash, and therefore, it's been removed from the parsha of Shavuos Bitui, Shavuos Edus, that included getting Malkus for that. Let's see, he says in Perik, I think Zion. No, I'm sorry, because again the Rambam flipped it. He has it later. He says. He says, "I'm mechuyav b'shuas edus av b'shu nishbal sheker v'av b'shu mezid enu chayav av b'shu mezid." So you know he's talking about mezid already. Enu chayav mishum shuas bitoy elam mishum shuas edus bavad. Sharei akazuv hotzi shuas edus michal shuas bitoy lechayav hamezid ba kishogig b'korban lo b'malkus. So for the Rambam, it's pretty clear that this is the reason there's no malkus is actually precisely now. pay attention, is precisely the way the Rambam understood the Gemara's resolution, the Shita regarding Shavuos Bikadon, right? The Gemara had presented, maybe Shavuos Bikadon, there's no Makos Bechal. Why not? Why not? Because by the Gemara doesn't say so much. It just says that's part of the Chiddush. Rambam explains that's essentially the same idea. It's some, it's in the terms of Rava, right? That it's Yotzi Lidom, it's kind of Yotzi Lidom B'davar Chadosh. Pasuk in the Parsha of Shavuos Bikadon, right, is being motzi the consequences of taking that shvua from the parsha, from the normal governing rules regarding shvuas bitui, and establishing it that this is what you do, right? This is now what we do with it. We give it a yizachiv korban b'mezid as opposed to malchus, right? This is what the Rambam says in regarding shvuas bikadon. Again, he paskins like the first option in the three-way, in the three, you know, possibilities the Gemara mentions, what you do with malchus. He paskins like the first one that it's in place of malchus, and he explains that with almost nearly identical lashon, with one difference which I'll get to in a second. But he says in Perek Zion, right? This is Perek Zion. I think. Hold on, go Naomi. Here we go. No, Perek Zion. Yeah, Perek Zion halacha. The pasuk is saying, here's how you adjudicate this matter. This is what the consequences are. That's now being motzio michal, what normally would have been the governing principles. So that's something which is true. That's what the Gemara means when it says in Shavuos Mabkadon, when the Gemara asks the question, what happens to the Malkus? What do you bring, korban and malchus? The first suggestion the Gemara had was maybe we'll just have malchus, right? Since he says his mishus ugadam visu ma'um came in the chiddushu b'chol Torah lo shkachin mezid demaisi korban ahacha maisi korban lo shna asubei v'lo shna lo asubei. That's how the Rambam passes. And explaining what that means is that the pasuk is replacing the parsha, right? This chiddush, this korban b'mezid, is actually intended as a replacement. You're now no longer under the rules governing shavuos, normal shavuos bitui. You're now just under the rules, the following. You have these consequences. So it's the same, and the same reasoning is what is true for shavuos aedus as well, right? That the kasuv is motzio michlal, the parsha that it would have been otherwise adjudicated under. Now it's just this consequence, and this consequence is a korban, not malchus. So now what question emerges though? All right, so that answers the question of why there's no malchus. It doesn't answer the question that Rosh Hashanah really even more bothered by, which is, why doesn't the Gemara ask that question? Right? Why does the Gemara bother by this issue when it comes to Shavuos Aedus? I mean, the Rambam waits till Shavuos Aedus after Shavuos Bikadon, but Rebbe held, right, dealt with Shavuos Aedus first, and the Gemara went through the whole paragraph of Shavuos Aedus, and if you're saying that there really is this conflict of malchus versus the Chiyuv Korban B'mezid, right, and the answer to what we do is based on the same principle in both cases. Right, what we do is we say that it's motzio mechlal, the general parsha of Shavuos Sheker, so that there's no malchus for it. It's just what the pasuk here is detailing regarding this case. Right, in the case of Shavuos Bikadon, it's a Shavuos Kfiras Mamon. In the case of Shavuos Aedus, it's a Shavuos Kfiras Aedus, Kfiras Aedus. Right, and if you're saying that it's just now adjudicated under this pasuk, which refers to Chiyuv Korban B'mezid, so then, just why the asymmetry? Why did the Gemara actually ask that question? Why doesn't it seem bothered by it? In other words, it seems like the Gemara thought, Dover Pasha, that this is true regarding Shavuos Aedus, this is what emerges from the Rambam. And it's a question regarding Shavuos Bikadon, but why would that be? So I think that we can answer this question pretty simply by pointing out as follows, that when it comes to Shavuos Aedus, right, as we've noted, there's only one Azhara. Right? Let's just assume it's Lo Sishavu B'Shmi L'Shaker. Right? There's only Lo Sishavu B'Shmi L'Shaker. That's the issue that we're talking about. So in that case, when the Torah dictated with the new pasuk that in this case, V'haya, Kiyachata, etc., that you, the Chiyuv is a Korban, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Shogeg, again, there's no Vinelam, so you know it's also B'Mezid. So that was obvious to us, that was obvious to Chazal, that apparently now is to be understood as the consequence of violating the law of Lo Sishavu B'Shmi L'Shaker. Normally speaking, had there been no such special parsha, we would have said, well, what happens if you violate this law of B'mezid? Well, it's actually not a general principle of Malkios. It's a special, you know, exception, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, right, that even though there's a law of B'mezid, you still get Malkios. So we say, get Malkios. The Torah has this pasuk treating this Shavuos Sheker, right, Shavuos Aedus, So we know that that's what you're supposed to be getting. That's a consequence of violating Lo Sishav Bishman and Shakar. That was obvious to the Gemara. That it's a kind of Yotzi the Dabra Chadash, or at least that's what the Gemara is saying in the context of the Rava. The question emerges, though, regarding Shavuos Mekadon, because in the case of Shavuos Mekadon, we could say it's very simple, which is granted. So now we understand Shavuos Mekadon, we got that. Now it's the same, we know the same thing that we know regarding Shavuos Eidos, right? That when it comes to Lo Sishav Bishman and Shakar, so I would have said, had I not had a special pasuk, I would have said, okay, so if it's been mazed, then there's malchus. The pasuk says no, vaya kiyachata, etc., etc. So regarding shvus mekadon too, what we'll say is the consequence for violating lo sishav uvishmin l'shakir is not malchus; it's apparently a korban. However, right here in the case of shvus mekadon, we have another pasuk. There's another lav. It's a totally separate iser. Lo sishak uvishmin bamiso. Right, the pasuk has a separate iser of swearing in the context of piras mamo. So I could have said, it's okay, I get what I get from Shavuos Eidos, it applies to Shavuos Mekadon, I understand. The consequence in this case of Shavuos, of Lo Sishav Uvishmin Shakir, is Korban, not Malchus. Okay, that's fine for the Yisr Lo Sishav Uvishmin Shakir, but what about the Yisr of Lo Sishakru? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is, how does the Yisr, what do we do with the Malchus from Lo Sishakru Ishrami So? Right, and the suffix is, do we say that this is the entire principle under which you're governing this case, or no, this is just the redefined Lo Sishav Uvishmin L'Shakir consequences. The consequences of Lo Sishav Uvishmin L'Shakir in this case is this pasuk. There's another Isser. You still have to judge that according to the normal Kalim of Isurim, and there you have Malchus. That's the Sotopic of the Gemara. But that question only comes up in the context of Shavuos Mekadon, where even if we say that the custom is Motzio Michlal, right, the Michlal what? Michlal, the being adjudicated as a violation of Lo Sishav Uvishmin L'Shakir, it's motzia michlal, so that it's not normally going to be, it's not governed under the normal principles, it's governed under the pasuk, this pasuk. That doesn't answer, though, what happens to Lo Sishakru Amiso. So it's pasuk regarding Shavuos Eidos, still a question regarding Shavuos Mekadon. Now, in the end, for the Rambam, in both cases, what we say is the pasuk is being motzio. But notice, I think that this difference is actually reflected in the language of the Rambam. I'll get to you in a second. I think there's one, if you notice, there's one slight difference in the Rambam between Shavuos Eidos, how he formulates the reason is no malchus in Shavuos Eidos from the reason is no malchus in Shavuos Mekadon. In Shavuos Eidos, he said, it's Mosiyah Michlal Shavuos Bitoy. To what extent? To be Mechayev Korban, not Malchus. In the case of Shavuos HaPikadon, Ram has one slight difference. He says, not Motziyo Michlal Shavuos Bitoy, the Chayev Alav. He says, Sharei Kasav Motziyo Michlal Chayev Malkios. He's Motziyo Michlal Chayev Malkios. And I think one could argue that the reason for that is because it's not enough to say he's Motziyo Michlal Shavuos Bitoy. That tells me what I need to know about Lo Sishav Uvishmin L'Shakir. But maybe he's still chayav malchus. So no, here the pasuk is saying, what the Gemara is saying, the maskana of the Gemara was, that it's actually being motziyo michlal, whatever other ownership would normally give, including what I would have thought I could have brought to bear based on the Lo Sishakru Ishram Yisro. So here the Rambam is telling you, motziyo michlal chayve malchus, and that's plural, because there could be two mechayvim. There's Lo Sishakru Ishram Yisro, so that we already know is similar to Shavuos Eidos, right? Where we say it's motziyo michlal Shavuos Bitui. But there's also Lo Sishakru Ishram Yisro. Maybe you should be chayav for that. No, the pasuk is saying this is the only thing you do, as opposed to whatever other reason you would have had to be chayav malchus, chayav malchus. I think that's a good diuk in the lashon of the Rambam, where he just distinguishes between them, because here there's actually two, and this is the whole reason that there was a question, because there are actually two bases to be chayav malchus, and therefore the question arose, but the answer is, it's lotzio, not just mechal shavuos bitoy, lotzio mechal chayav malchus. Everybody, you hear that? Yeah.
If you assume that,
that was the Mishnah Melech in the Derech Mitzvah Secha had that as one of the second possibility. Yeah. Again, we noted at time that's Mechudash.
Right. So I'm saying
two different Yisurim, and then one of them you're learning
so
for the other.
So according to that, what would even be the Havamina? Meaning, we're saying, oh, because we have two separate Sukkim, we have two Kedushim, so that's why we have to.
So, in other words, even if we resolve the issue regarding Lo Sishav Uvishmakir, what happens to Malkus between Lo Sishav Uvishmakir? We resolved that the parak before, and it was already implicit. We understood that was Rava, right?
Right.
So there's still a question though about Lo Sishakru. That's what I'm understanding the Rambam to understand this Gemara.
Uh-huh.
That's why the Gemara is asking it about Lo Sishak, about here in Shavuos Regalim, because there's still the Lo Sishak Kruf Pasuk. Yeah. And the Gemara is, and I could have thought that maybe it's Motzi Mechal Shavuos Bitoy, meaning as a consequence of Vad Lo Sishak Kruf Pasuk, but not Motzi Mechal Chavi Malkios, but maybe there's still Chavi Malkios from the other one. And the answer is no, it's also Motzi Mechal Chavi Malkios. I think that this comes up again in the last point just to mention regarding Shavuos HaPikadon. I think it could come up again, which is the discussion of Rishonim regarding a discrepancy that exists l'shitasam, as opposed to the Rambam, between Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos HaEdos, a different one. And that is, right, the fact that the Gemara, what happens in the case where there's no chiyuv mishum, the new parsha, right? Right, in other words, I'm dealing with a shvua al kfiras mamon, a shvua al gabi kfiras mamon is a shvua sheker. What? Oh, I'll get to that. Yeah, 1 second. So let me just clarify what the issue is. Gemara mem tes on base. Last off says that kol apater mi shvuas. That the mission lists the klal that in order to be chayav mishum shvuas to be kadon, it has to be mishana mi chova l'ptur. You have to be falsely swearing in a way that exempts what otherwise would be a chiyav. But if you falsely swear in a way that doesn't exempt, let's say you're being mishana mi p'tur l'p'tur, right? Let's say I'm a shamachina. I swear that it was nenas. That's my shvua, right? And therefore I'm p'tur. It turns out, I was embarrassed to say, actually it was stolen from me, right? This is, as a chazal said, geneva v'edya, or at least geneva is krova l'p'shia, right? There's some responsibility. You could have maybe prevented it if you'd done a better job. So he swears, but either way, the shamachin is patr. So he swears falsely that I don't owe you money because it was honest. And it turns out it was stolen. So because it's not mishanami chova l'ptur, but rather mishanami p'tur l'ptur, so you're not going to be chayav mishum p'shuas v'gadam. So the Gemara there says, right, kol patr, in this case, kol patr mishuas ha-shomrim, and there the Gemara means shuas ha-shomrim in the sense of shuas v'gadam, right? Sometimes it's a little tricky, but it means that you're not chayav midin. That's what Rashi says, right? You're not chayav midin shavuos bikadon in that case. Kol apadim shavuos means you're not chayav midin shavuos bikadon. Chayav mishum shavuos bitoy. So therefore, you are chayav mishum shavuos bitoy. So I don't know if you saw the little Tosas Altar. The Karush, right? The Tosas Altar isn't short. Is raises a something which is difficult, which is the shitas rov rishonim, as opposed to the Rambam. The shitas rov rishonim. This is now something which seems to emerge as a discrepancy between Shavuos HaEdos and Shavuos HaPikadon. In the case of Shavuos HaEdos, right, Rav Rishonim held that at least for Rava, which is Hevel Paskin, when we say Motzio Michlal, Hakasu Motzio Michlal, that means that it's no longer to be adjudicated as Shavuos, any Adel HaEdos, is no longer at all subject to the Parsha of Shavuos Bitoy, right, and therefore, even if it doesn't meet the standards, the conditions don't exist to be Michai Mishum Shavuos HaEdos, let's say as an example, everything was outside of Bezin, Chutz LeBezin, right? Shvua and the Kfirah was outside of Bezin. So in that case, Rav Rishonim felt, not the Rambam, not the Rambam, Rav Rishonim felt, that in that case, so we say, Torah isn't Machzir L'Chlal Shvua Bitoy, so therefore, it won't be a Chiyuv. But here, in the case of Shvua Bigadon, I would have said the same thing. The Torah is Motzio Michlal Shvuas Sheker on Kfirah Mamon, to adjudicate it as a Shvuas Bigadon as opposed to Shvua Bitoy. I should have said the same thing. And if there's no basis of Mechai in the Korban Mishum Shavuos HaPikadon, it's still a Shavua Sheker, though. And even though it's still a Shavua Sheker, but because of Motzi Mechalo, and we should just say he's Pater. So this is the I think, is it the last, very last Tosos in the whole Masechta? Either the last or the penultimate. Yeah, sometimes people should know. Sometimes people use the word penultimate. They think it means like the ultimate, but it means the second to last. Yeah. So no, this is the last.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, the penultimate one is.
This is the ultimate one.
This is the ultimate. All right. V'chayv mishum shuas bitoy. Tema the name of the yatzal lidom davar chadash. V'en chabal lechidusho k'dav armin ben perak shlishi gabe shuas aedus. Right. That's a question. Again, it's only a question for these rishonim, but for the Rambam and the Rav Gash, there's no question. It matches. Right. They both felt that in the absence of a shuas, in the absence of the conditions of Mechayev Mishum Shavuos HaEdos, you are Chayev Mishum Shavuos Bitoy. But for them, there's this discrepancy. So what do we say here? So here, the Tosfos have an answer which is really interesting. What they say, anybody remember what they saw? What they said? What they say is, I'll read it, and then... Benirli de lo dami de hasim yatzal lehakel, hilchach habi chidish, v'alhachat de yatzal lehachmer lefish kober mamon ein zachidish. there's a difference between being mekel and being machmir. I think what they're saying, what this means is that to be machmir is not a, does not require, does not entail a removal from the previous category. It just means there's an additional thing to do in this case. When is it that you need to say that the custom must be motzio? It's when you're mekel. Because then you're really contradicting. Right? It's, in other words, the parsha is not necessarily exclusive. It's not that the only thing that happens in this case is the following. Parsha Shavuos Bitui. It just says, this is what happens. So when you're machmir, you add an additional thing, right? When the pasuk says, in addition to be machmir, that you're also going to have this additional thing. So then, it's not a hotza'a michlal, the original parsha. It's just an additional din in this case. But when you're mekil, and you're saying you're not going to apply those dinim, and mekil upon those dinim, so then that's considered, it must be the Torah's treating it as a removal from the original category. And what isn't pashut is the fact that it's only lahakil and not lahachmir. In the prior case, and here it's lahachmir. I'm sorry. Yeah, that here it's only lahachmir. It's not so obvious that there aren't kulas and chumras above. And I think if I go over the other shonim bring that up. I think an alternative answer, one could have suggested, is simply to say that the requirement of mechova, of being mishana, mechova leptur, is supposed to be ptur leptur, is not simply just a condition to be chayiv the korban, but that's actually what's koveya, the shame, shvuas abikadam. That's what the parsha was talking about. The parsha was talking about a shvuas sheker, to potter yourself. Right, so this isn't just a technical condition. Okay, in Shavuos HaBikadon, when it comes to Shavuos HaBikadon, when is it that you're able to be Mechayiv the Korban? Only when it's Mishana Mechova B'tur. No, it's as far as the Shavuos HaBikadon category is concerned, that's as if it's just like you're being, it's just a regular Shavuos B'tui. Taking a Shavua that doesn't pater you, but rather simply is false in one of the details about why you're pater, that's not at all what the Parsha here is talking about, Shavuos HaBikadon. So you're not bechalal that parsha. It's analogous. I think it's a good analogy. To, anybody remember? The Ramban regarding Shavuos Eidos, right? That what? The Ramban held that he had a little reservation, right? About one case, or the Rashi mentions. He thinks one case. He does think that there's a chiyuv, and that is the psulei Eidos. The einam ruuyim lahaid says the Ramban. In that case, that's not the parsha Shavuos Eidos. Parsha Shavuos Eidos, we're talking Eidim, and Eidim say they don't know testimony that right, they could have been effective. When you're talking about people that can't be megged at all, that's just a regular Shavuos Bitui. That defines what it is a Shavuos Eidos, not when you bring the Korban. Right? So that's what the Ramban had suggested regarding Shavuos Eidos. I think one could have said the same thing about Shavuos Bikadon here regarding Mishana Mechova L'Ptur, in which case he would have had a simple answer. But I think one final alternative, the third answer we can suggest, is related to what we just mentioned before, which is that we can point out that that when it comes to Shavuos Bikadon, we have an additional law. So we might say in that case that as follows, that Shavuos Eidos is a different consequence for the same law. And therefore, what we would say, it must be that the Torah is completely rewriting what happens when you violate that law. It must be that there's a hotzah, because there's only one law. So it's not like you did anything in addition here, it's just that one law. And if I have different consequences, so that's to be understood as rewriting what the consequences are for violating that law. But in the case of Shavuos Bikadon, where you have two different lavin, so you might say, listen, both lavin exist, both partios exist. What the Torah writes in addition, you might say, is just to account for the additional law. And what we're doing in that case is really prioritizing one over the other. In other words, the Torah is not motzio michal, it's just saying, adjudicate this first, these narrow cases of Shavuos Bitui, where the issue is kfiras mamon, adjudicate them in this way, if possible. Right? Enforce this, the Chiyuv Korban. If it's not possible, even if it's a Shavuos HaBikadon, but it's also a Shavuos Bitui, if it's not possible, then both exist, and we can't do the latter, right? This unique partial will do the former. In other words, and the reason I'm saying that relates to what we're saying is, the reason you could say that is because you might say, if they're two different lavin, so we're not to understand that this is a rewriting, it's just writing an additional partial alongside, corresponding to the additional Azhara. Right, so when I do that, when the Torah says about this case of Shavuos Bikadon, so we'll say this is what you do for Lo Shishakru, and it has priority. But if you can't apply this, so we still, of course, have the Lo Shishakru Bishin Shaker Parsha. Right, that hasn't been rewritten. That still exists. I think one could have suggested that as well. Okay. Yeah.
About how you can't give them Misa, like the Misa,
Suba.
Is that Or it could mean, one could theoretically argue this is just like lava erosion, lava. Like, why do you have to come onto that approach that it's like if you can't give them this, you give them that? Is that?
Because the parshios aren't lava in the way that isn't significant. You mean why not give them both consequences?
Right.
I think I mentioned that. That's a question that I don't know. I don't have a good answer to. In terms of when the Torah was doing that, as opposed to being motzio mechal. Meaning, if you're saying it's or just adding it in addition and then prioritizing. I agree. It's not so clear why. If this is true, it's not being motzio mechal, and it's just prioritizing. So why do we assume that they have to be? You can't just do both. Unless you say, actually, you know what? I do have an answer for that. Maybe this is the answer for that. La'achas mehena, la'achas me'ela. Meaning that pasuk, maybe you'll say, that's exactly how you know you can't be applying both. Maybe that's why you need it, in fact. In fact, that's how the Rambam understood this. I'm not sure if this works for Tosas, but remember the Rambam quotes that pasuk even though he has hotziyo mechalo. And I think at the time argued that maybe that's just to tell you, you need to be motzi mechalo, you can't apply both. I could have thought maybe you have these two different parshios, but mechatesi, I can't apply both. I do exactly what you said, like la'av roshonai v'shnei makios, why not? The answer is because lachas mein. So I know that there's only one, and therefore it has to be that either there's a removal, or what I'm suggesting is maybe I could have thought of prioritizing, but not a removal. But it's got to be one of those two, as opposed to just adding on. Maybe in the case of at least for the Rambam, that actually is an answer. Maybe the Rambam thought, you know what, that's what the pasuk there is for. Exactly. I can reconstruct what Chazal did because they told me it's based on lachas mehena. It's true that it came in the mouth of Abaye, but that actually, you can argue, is what Rava is basing himself on too. The fact that you need to speak of a yatzal idon, as opposed to just saying there's an additional nosaf parsha, right? That's because lachas mehena or mehena. You know, I don't know what to say about it. I think it's the wrong pasuk, but it's in the Rambam. All right. Anyway, okay. So that's Arkan, the issue of Shavuos HaPikadon, the Arba Shavuos. Now we come to the Shavua that's the namesake of our Perek, and the focus of much of it, which is Shavuos HaDeyanim. So just generally speaking, I think what we can say is, what is a Shavuos HaDeyanim? So Shavuos HaDeyanim is a Shavua that Beis Din is Mechayiv a Baal Din in the context of a monetary dispute, in the context of a dispute in Dinim Amanos, under various circumstances, right? Various different circumstances where they do this, that they require the Baal Din to take this Shavua in order to counter and to contradict the claim against him. To counter what is coming against him. And generally speaking, if he doesn't, so there are consequences, he'll lose. So that we'll get into over the course of the parak. And just as a general sikkum, I guess I can do this now, just as a sikkum, the Rambam can talk about Kodesh in two places, actually. Something that otherwise you don't find anywhere, or at least the Rambam was the first one to do this, I believe. Actually, no, that's not true. Some of the Gaon did this as well. Actually, the Rafai Gaon, Bishop Teshfuas did it. Also, the grandson of the Rif. I don't think I mentioned the Sefer yet, but the grandson of the Rif. That's who they attribute it to. It's called the Shari Shavuos or Alfas at the end of the Maseches. So it's an early Rishonic work. They think it's the grandson of the Rif. He also summarizes Shavuos of the Anim. But the Rambam has a very good summary. Basically, just the Gadol, you have the Shavuos Deraisa. Now, again, what separates these is the circumstances under which you're chayav. Other than that, we'll come to. But the technique is something which we'll come to. But in general, the circumstances are what distinguishes. So there are three such shvuas. There are three circumstances in which there's a chiyuv shvua min haTorah. All of them are nishba'in v'niftar, nishba'in v'lo mishalmin, meaning that the shvua is upon the nishba, upon the nitva, and he has to take it in order to be pater. And that's acronym Shema. I heard that acronym from a book. Right, Shema. Shvuas shomrim, modim mixas, edacha. Okay, each of them is derived, right, there you go. So each of them is derived from different psukim. Rambam doesn't actually mention that in Hilchos Shavuos. He doesn't in the beginning of Hilchos Halamim Nitan. He mentions where they come from. We'll get to that extensively. Some of them are explicit in the pasuk. Some of them are based on shmuos with also drashas, right, in particular Shavuos Erechad, which we'll come to. Those are the three that are min haTorah. Then you have Shavuos, there are the Rabbanan. And here, these are further broken down into two categories, and each of them is broken down into more. The two categories are Shavuos HaMishnah, which are Shavuos that already the Mishnah was aware of, Shavuos that the Mishnah speaks of, Tanaim or Metakin, and Shavuos And Shavuos afterwards, and we'll just say Shavuos Hesed for now. Shavuos and Mishnah themselves are two types. One is Nishbayin Minotlin. Right, these are the one case where you have, at least it seems to be the one case, there's another one in the Moraim, one case where you have a Shavuah that is upon the Toveya, right, who needs to take the Shavuah in order to win. Right? Minotaur, you have no such animal. Minotaur, all the Shavuahs are taken in order for the Nitva, by the Nitva, in order to be Pater. This Shavuah is, the categories of Nishbayin Minotlin are Shavuahs that the Chazal were mitakin, in order to enable the Toveya to be notel, he has to be notel b'shvuah. We'll get to, just suffice for now. Those are the Nishbayin Minotlin. And the other case in the Mishnah where you have shvuos that are required, that are not required in the Torah, are all Nishbayin Minotlin, and they're all unique in that they're Nishbayin, what the Mishnah calls in the next paragraph, Nishbayin Below Taina, or Nishbayin B'Taina Safek. Which means kind of something, meaning that the Toveya is not saying vada that you know he knows that you're chayav to him, he's not sure, but just as a function of the relationship, he's a maskir and you're a socher, as an example, and we'll get to these. But Chazal are talking that there's a requirement for shvuah in each of these. Those are called the nishbam below tainer, nishbam tana safik. That those are the shvuas and mishnah that are nishbam v'lo mishamin, like shvuas haTorah. Then you have post-Mishnaic Shavuos.
That's something you're no-tell also? Meaning you're a socher?
No, those are Nishbam and Niftar. In that case,
the Maskir is taking the
Shavuos.
What?
Who's taking... I'm sorry, if I mentioned Schir there, I didn't mean to. Schir is one of the Nishbam and Notlin. Right. No, the Arisin, Petrupsin, other cases, yeah, I'm sorry. Schir was one of the cases of Nishbam and Notlin. In other cases, it's other arrangements where... you have a shvua. The Toveya doesn't know that the person is chayev. Normally speaking, that we aren't mechayev shvua in that case. But nonetheless, we will in these cases be drabanan. And there is one shvua that's like that min haTorah, and that's shvuas haShomer, which I'll come back to. Again, all this is just a very basic introduction. The post Mishnah shvuas that are not shvuas Mishnah but shvuas Amoraim. So generally speaking, in the Rambam here, limits that to Shavuos Hesed, and that's the major one. Shavuos Hesed, which is a topic that comes squarely in our parak, and we'll get to it, which are under circumstances in which wouldn't, it's essentially covered by kol circumstances, although which cases is subject to machlokes in the Gemara, we'll get to them. But essentially, it almost makes every claim potentially subject to a Shavuos. That's a Shavuos of, that's called in Gemara Shavuos Hesed. It was the authored by Rav Nachman. And the Rambam cryptically in introducing it says it's not a Shavuos HaDeanim. We'll have to get into what he might mean by that. But nonetheless, it comes in all the cases where you deal with Shavuos HaDeanim. I think normally speaking, it's thought of as one of the Shavuos HaDeanim. And I should just note, we'll encounter a Shavuos in our parak, there may be others, that is from the Amoraim and not Shavuos Hesed. The Rambam doesn't mention it, but it's called the Shavuos HaPapa. We'll get to it. There could be reasons why he doesn't mention it. Not that he's a paskin by it, but other reasons. So that is still possible that there are other shvuas, but the major one that's post Mishnah is Shavuos Hesed. Okay, so that's just the basic introduction to what you have in terms of Shavuos HaDeanim, the various circumstances under which you don't be Mechayev, Shavuos. Alright, so first thing that I want to deal with here is just right where, as the conclusion of our Hakdama, right, where this fits in within the world of Shavuos. So Rebbe devoted a separate perek to these Shavuos, after Pikadon and after Eidos, and it's understandable why. Shavuos HaDeanim is quite unique in various ways, and most significant of which is it's the one case where you actually have a case, we have somebody who can become obligated to take a Shavuos. Till now, what we've been dealing with, right, are consequences of violating somebody of Shavuos. If a Shavuos Sheker, or Shavuos Shav, or Shavuos Sheker of Shavuos, that you don't know Eidos, Shavuos Sheker that you don't know money, all these things, you don't have to take the shvua. Best thing might be just to walk away, right? Not to take a shvua. Tov, shalom, kishava, right? The partios, the categories are that we're dealing with are what happens if you do and it's false. Or what happens if you do in the case of shvua shav and it's just a shvua shav, right? Here, the shvua of the anim, what the main, I think, unique characteristic of it is that it's a case where we say you are chayav to take a shvua. the Beis Din will be mechayiv you to take a shvuah in the context of a court case, but you have an actual chiyuv to take it. So that's number one, and that's something which separates it really from all the others. And you can understand then why Rebbe has it as a separate perek. However, the Rambam doesn't count it as an additional min shvuah. He subsumes it under shvuas bikadon, and we understand why. And this is what the Rambam says: it's bichal shvuas bikadon in terms of the din of shvuas bikadon. In other words, if it's sheker, right? So then, what happens? Well, that's a shvuas bikadon, right? That's the korban hashem b'mezid u'b'shogeg, etc., etc. Now that makes sense, right? The content obviously qualifies this for shvuas bikadon, right? Shvuas bikadon is I swear I don't owe you money falsely, right? So that's obviously what you're going to be doing falsely. It's obviously what this constitutes, right? If it's a shvuas of the onion, you're chayitik the shvua, and you say it falsely, it obviously fits in under what a shvuas of pigadon is. And therefore, it makes sense that the din of mechuyav ba is midin shvuas of pigadon, and for that reason, the Rambam just subsumes it under shvuas of pigadon. Now, regarding this fact, just the fact that it really is chayiv is shvuas of pigadon. So besides making sense, it seems to be the implication of the Gemara and Testament Beis. The Rambam just says it, sort of, it sounds like he thinks he didn't really have a makor for it. He just thought it was obviously the case. All right, Davor, Galoi, Barer, right? Davor, Barer, Galoi. It's unusual for him to say that. Usually when somebody says something like that, it's like this doesn't even need the Raya to be said, because it's just obvious. It's just Pasha. But as the Mahadir in the... Is this 430 now? All right. No. Yeah, the schedule was sent.